New leadership and a surprise merger of sorts. No, we're not talking about the latest on Chiquita Banana. This is our Thursday political conversation. So today we're talking about the North Carolina Democratic Party. And joining me in studio today is WFAE's Tom Bullock. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kevin. And we have a lot of news from the Democrats this week. So where do you want to begin? The good news or the bad?
Let's start with the good news.
Okay, so the Democrats have elected a new executive director. Her name is Casey Mann. She was elected on Sunday, and she'll be running the day-to-day operations of the party. She follows after Robert Dempsey, who was fired last month by State Democratic Party Chairman Randy Voller. Dempsey had been on the job for less than a year, and there's been no public reason given for his firing. Voller then seems set to nominate Ben Chavis as executive director, but Chavis was a controversial pick. Chavis has been the head of the NAACP, but was forced to step down, and he has a history with the Nation of Islam and its leader, Louis Farrakhan. So Casey Mann is now in charge, and she faces some major challenges. And it's not just because the state Republicans control all branches of the North Carolina government. The Democratic Party is just about broke.
All right, and I'm guessing that's the bad news.
That's the bad news. The day Mann was named executive director, the party had just $60,000 cash on hand. And there were even some who were worried about whether or not the party could make payroll. Mann told a news conference the financial situation was a, quote, shock to the system for Democratic donors. In fact, one Democrat, Beth Wood, the state auditor, said she had lost so much confidence in the fiscal management of the party, she actually asked for a refund of her $500 contribution. The Democrats don't see any need for layoffs among the six full-time staffers just yet. But officials are assessing what to do with Goodwin House. Now, this is that grand 111-year-old house in Raleigh that serves as the party headquarters. The building is historic, and it requires a lot of maintenance. As Mann said, you can't just slap vinyl siding on it. But the party has spent a lot of money to keep it up. In fact, last year, they spent more than $24,000 into upkeep of the building alone. And right now, they only have $274 in the fund to care for the building. So the party is now looking to set up a campaign headquarters at another site, but Mann did not know how they would pay for a second site.
So how did the state party get into this financial situation?
Well, again, according to Mann at a press conference, she says it's because they're not in power, and that is a major hit to their donor base.
But wouldn't that rally their base?
Well, there's another issue, which is turmoil at the top, Kevin, and many don't want to give to an organization that is in disarray and that is openly fighting with itself. And unless they can rally their donor base, the books are likely to actually get worse. Last year, the GOP lawmakers ended the ability for individuals to mark a box on their taxes that provided money for state political parties. For the Democrats, this brought in between $500,000 and $1.5 million a year, an amount that Mann said accounted to 3/4 of their operating budget, and they're not going to see that.
Okay, so what does this mean for Democratic candidates this election year?
Well, it means they aren't likely to have a strong state party to help get them elected or reelected, and that is a real disadvantage. But other groups have stepped in to fill the void. The North Carolina NAACP has been particularly active at organizing grassroots efforts. You know, they're behind those Moral Monday marches. And candidates are calling on other groups as well to help in ways that the state party normally would. Take Senator Kay Hagan's campaign. Instead of partnering with the state party, Hagan is partnering with the Wake County Democratic Party for fundraising and get-out-the-vote efforts. It's called the Coordinated Campaign. Corey Warfield is its director, and he told WFAE in a very politically appropriate statement that they were letting the state party focus on their internal operations while Hagan and the Wake County Democrats focus on the election. Having Hagan's campaign pair with a county party over the state party is extremely rare. In fact, I asked Michael Bitzer, our resident political brain, if he could remember any other national candidate taking this tack, and he said no.
All right, finally, Tom, let's take a look at what's been called a political fumble by a local Republican.
Yes, it's either a fumble or he's building his ultimate fantasy football endorsement team. This involves State Representative Larry Pittman of Cabarrus County. And on Monday, his official campaign website had a number of endorsements, which is common. But what is not common is that the six people that were listed shared the names of retired Dallas Cowboy players, people like Daryl Johnson, also endorsements by Brock Marion, Darren Woodson, Russell Maryland, and someone called Troy A., who called Pittman a true professional. Now, for those of you who aren't fans, Troy Aikman was a Super Bowl-winning quarterback with the Cowboys, and all those other names are very, very famous retired Cowboy players. Now, Pittman hasn't returned our phone calls for comment, but his Facebook page does say he's a huge Cowboys fan, and the endorsements were taken down after the NC Capital blog wrote a post about those endorsements.
All right. That's WFAE's Tom Bullock. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome, Kevin.